And welcome back to another episode of Listening Lyrics, right here on KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Pete Pastore, and along with me, as every week, is Jeannie. Welcome, Jeannie.
Yes, I am here again on this Roasty Toasty Friday.
It is a Roasty Toasty Friday. Today's show is kind of unique.
It's a first.
We're going international.
That's pretty exciting.
we're going to England.
Which country's next?
I don't know yet. We're going to England. Jason McNiff is a British troubadour. He's got 5 albums out. You can call his music folk or Americana or alt country, but boy, does he come through with not only his guitar work, but his lyrics. And I'm just so, so excited to have him on the show. And we'll have him on here in just a few moments.
I think the word troubadour is absolutely perfect. It certainly conjures up a type of music and type of lyrics in my head that perfectly fit what Jason does. So, yes, to me, the troubadour is a musical artist traveling through the UK or maybe somewhere else in Europe.
Yeah.
It's a good term.
It's a great term. What I like about his music is, his voice. He describes it as fragile, but I see it differently. I think his voice comes across as very... it's almost like personal. It's unique.
I agree. I don't hear fragile.
No,
he's a storyteller.
He's a storyteller, and his voice is very honest. So we're going to get him on the phone. We're going to be talking about him. I'll tell you, Jeannie, Mojo, the music magazine, mm-hmm. called him one of UK's best-kept secrets. The Time Out magazine, a triumph of English Americana. Let's see. The BBC, Sean Rowley, says it's the nearest thing out there to Bob Dylan and the band. And finally, Morning Star, a troubadour and one of the best singer-songwriters we have in this country.
Good for him.
So I'm really excited to have him on the show here in just a little bit.
Okay.
Alrighty. Anything else happened this week that we should know about?
No, except that I see one of Jason's songs we'll be hearing is Having a Bad Day.
Right.
And I'm having a good day.
You're having a good day, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, he had a bad day when he wrote that.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get Jason on the line, I forgot to mention that we opened up with a little tune of him strumming on his guitar called I Remember You, and you're hearing it in the background, and you'll hear little pieces of it throughout the show as we segue from one little area to another. Well, we have Jason McNiff on the line. He is coming to us from London, England. And I believe you were born in that area or not, Jason?
Oh, no, I was born in the north. We call it up north in Yorkshire, which is...
In Yorkshire, okay.
200 miles north of London, which is halfway up the country.
Right. Well, first of all, before we get into all of that, welcome to the show. Welcome back. We had Jason on 5 years ago, and he performed locally here in Davis, and we haven't been in touch since then, but here we are, and we're going to talk. We're going to spend the whole hour talking about not only his new album, which we've already mentioned, but we're also going to talk a little bit about how he got into music. As a British troubadour, you've made 5 albums so far.
Actually, I think it's 6.
6 now.
6 now, yeah.
With Joint Independence.
That was number 6, yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, number 6. That was number 6.
Okay.
I've just finished number 7. Well, I will be tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day in the studio for a new album I've got we've been making during the lockdown.
Okay. Alrighty, so six albums. We'll talk a little bit about that, but primarily we're going to focus a little bit on that joint independence also. When you were a young child, what did your parents listen to?
Well, my dad had a nice record collection. He had a nice record player, a good quality Bang & Olufsen, which is like a Danish.
That's a high end. Yeah.
So I remember the hi-fi was had pride of place in our house, you know. And you know, and he would have country music and 60s pop music, you know, English bands, 60s.
Right. Okay.
But that was, and so I was growing up, you know, late 70s, 80s, I was a boy, and I liked 60s pop music.
And what got you, did you learn on a guitar or piano, or what was your first musical instrument?
I think I started on a bit of piano. We had a kind of great uncle who lived in the town from my mother's side. In fact, I think he was her great uncle, and he was a guy and teaching piano in the area.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, and he had a guitar as well. That's where I kind of came across a guitar for the first time.
So you picked up the guitar, started playing it.
I never picked it up. He wouldn't let me touch it.
Oh.
No. No, so I started learning in school. We were sort of randomly selected, you know, maybe 10 kids in our year group were offered music lessons if they wanted them, and I sort of reluctantly went for the guitar, and
the rest is history.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest is history. When did you discover your voice?
Well, I don't, well, my speaking voice, I was...
singing, that you actually could sing with, along with strumming or picking.
Well, you know, I've never really considered myself to really, really have a voice as such, you know. It was only hearing singers like Dylan and Leonard Cohen that convinced me that I could get away with it, you know. I never really thought of myself as having a voice like that, like a good voice, you know. So, but yeah, maybe my voice isn't quite as bad as Dylan's, but it's, you know, it's not great.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeannie and I, when we introduced you on the show, we talked about your voice, and in your bio, it says fragile, but your voice is more than fragile. It's also very, personal. It comes across as, that you're very sincere. And it draws you into the song. So I think your voice is wonderful for the type of music you do. Yeah, no, well, absolutely.
Well, that's great to hear that, yeah. I guess I have noticed over the years that there's a certain character to it. And I mentioned Dylan because I think a little bit, some people don't like my voice and others do like it. So I think it's a taste thing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's a compliment if someone said you sound like, your voice sounds like Bob Dylan. You know who else comes to mind sort of like that is Johnny Cash. He would have this speaking type of singing voice that he would almost speak a song.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I tried to sing A Boy Named Sue the other day, and I really realized, you know, that I, you got to be Johnny Cash to sing a song like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Not easy.
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about your childhood. You mentioned one of the first songs you remember as a boy is Wichita Lineman by Glen Campbell. That sort of stood out for you. Let's just listen to a little snippet of that. Here we go.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you the wine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain.
Glen Campbell, I guess you know how that he's passed away. And of course, a sad story how he passed away.
Yeah.
So, okay. So now we're into your teen years. Were you in a band as a kid, as a teenager?
No, not really. I'd sort of shuffle around the school, sort of jealous of those guys in bands, and not really knowing how to broach the whole thing, really, you know. So it was I didn't really get into the first sort of band I was in was really I was in university.
Okay. Yeah. So well into years. By that I mean what, 17, 18, 19?
I went to study in Nottingham University. I was 19, I think.
You obviously are a very, very good writer. What is your creative process like?
Well, I always kind of found, I used to at least, I always found the music side of it easier, really. That would just come without too much effort. And then lyrics would tend to be a bit of a problem. But as I've gone on, it's almost swapping around these days, you know. I'm finding it more difficult to find an interesting melody than interesting words. So
interesting.
I don't know what that means, but certainly I've worked at the lyrics because I mean, for one thing, you need something to write about. It's hard to sort of come up with a subject.
Yeah.
And then once you do, you need to know how to sort of realize that in a good way.
Yeah. The song Off the Rails that we're going to play in a little bit here. First of all, great guitar work on that. Is that only you or is there someone else also?
No, there's a guy on that called Andy Hankdog.
Okay.
And he's a guy in London who involved in the acoustic music scene there, and he's been around for a while. He even played on a Sex Pistols record.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's a good he gave up punk to do more folky music in the 90s, and he's a great guitar player. He plays the main riff on that song.
Okay. There's one great line in there, and that is, God needs me more than I need him. I think that, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's right.
That's just a wonderful line. It made me think, you know, there's some truth to this. Why did he create us? If there is a God, why did he create us? Because he didn't need us, you know? I mean, it started my whole brain going. It was wonderful. Yeah. The word bridge comes up quite a bit in that song. What is that, a metaphor for something?
Well, you know, I just moved to London. It's a song about London, really.
Okay.
And you know, when you live in the south of the city, you know, the city's divided by the river, and you're crossing bridges all the time.
Right.
And to go anywhere, sort of, you know, the West End, which is where all the action is. Well, there's action all over London, but the central part, the West End, is if you're living in the south, you have to cross the bridge to get up there.
Right.
So that song's about sort of, you know, good times being young in London.
Okay. The train also comes up in that song. I look for metaphors in these words, and maybe I shouldn't be doing that. But to me, the train seems like you're referring to the train as you were on a train not knowing where you were going, and you sort of ended up there. And that it was sort of like the train of life, you know?
Yeah. Well, London is the end of the line, really, in a lot of ways, if you're from the UK.
Okay.
You know, and that's where all roads lead there, really. All railway tracks lead there.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to Off the Rails. And this is from the album, which album?
Off the Rails.
Okay, here we go.
I got nothing to do today but think about the way things seem to go. When tomorrow is as far away as the one you loved yesterday. And that was me in Waterloo. I was hungry, so were you. Hungry for the city lights across the bridge, across the night. I'm going off the rails for sure. And there's no going back, not from here. I'm going off the rails, but I don't care. Cause I never knew where that train was going anyway. Music, music fills the air as soon as you cross the bridge. And money doesn't matter now. You don't know who the band is. Cause the Thames might as well be wine. When wine's so easy to find, the bomb eyes to wear again. I'm going off the rails for sure. But there's no going back, not from here, no way. I'm going off the rails, but I don't care. Cause I never knew where that train was going anyway. Oh, I can't. Leicester City Station in the rain, but I didn't even know you then. And how I wish I could have told you all about my heart being broken. The hipster in a so-hit coat, those falsities were all proved true years later. I'm going off the rails for sure, but there's no going back, not from here. That train was going anyway. Oh, I'm not the only one for whom the blues have run the game. There's no end in what to say, but I'll sing that song till I die a day. Wandering around the cemetery, all those people were just like me and you. So put your fur coat on a taxi cab. He blows his horn. I'm going off the rails. There's no going back, not from here, no way. I'm going off the rails, but I don't care. Cause I never knew where that train was going anyway. Far from me, much further than you'd want to see. Is God gonna help and mess him in? Or does he need me more than I need him? I don't know those things you don't want to hear, but sweetest friend, do not fear. I feel the pull of destiny, that the one I love, she's not for me. I'm going off the rails for sure. There's no going back, not from here.
I hope the people listening in heard what we were talking about, because your songs are, I would imagine, in a very busy pub, people cannot appreciate what you're doing in terms of listening to the lyrics, actually listening to the music. To me, it seems like your kind of music is more where you want to sit and just listen, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's always more satisfying to play in a little venue, you know, where people come just for the music.
Right.
And they play a little art center or some other kind of situation. Pubs, there are some good pubs. A lot of the live music scene here takes place in pubs, and often you have a room upstairs, you know, for instance, where people can go and listen to the band, the people who want to listen to the band. But I've done my fair share of, you know, playing to a couple of old guys in the corner, you know.
Yeah. you've been around the block now a few times, yeah. with six albums behind you, coming up with the seventh. Yeah. Who would you like to collaborate with, if you could? Anybody? Dead or alive? Ooh.
Well, I mean, that's really not an easy question, because I immediately start to think of, well, would it be just to get some, just to do it musically? Like, I just finished the biography of Woody Guthrie by Joe Klein, and read about Woody's life.
Right.
It would have been amazing to meet him and collab, you know, just to hang out with him.
Right.
I would like to hang out with Woody Guthrie when he was living in New York with Pete Seeger and all those people.
Right, right.
And same goes for 10 years later when Dylan and all those guys were there, you know.
Right.
Just to be in that atmosphere would be something. But purely collaborating with, you know, just musically. Well, I've always loved Mark Knopfler and his style of playing, and I'd love to play with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Knopfler, remind me, who was he with?
Dire Straits,
yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, Dire Straits. Okay. Okay, well, that sort of leads me into the next question, which really is in reverse. If you could open up for someone, who would that be?
Open up for someone?
Yeah, right.
Open
the show.
Yeah, it would have to be Bob Dylan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Bob Dylan was here in Davis about 10, 15 years ago, played to the university crowd, and the whole time, I don't think I saw his face. He had his back towards the audience, looking at his band and playing and singing the whole concert.
Yeah.
It was during one of his weird times, but we all appreciated it.
Yeah. His recent sort of concerts can be quite strange, can't they?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If it wasn't for music, what do you think you'd be doing?
Maybe some kind of scientist, I always quite like those guys that sit in massive observatories, you know, the guys that, the first guy that finds out the meteor's heading for the planet, you know, that guy.
Oh, you'd be famous. Magnificent coming.
Yeah.
I follow an English guy, Cox is his last name. I kind of forget his first name.
Brian
Cox.
Yeah.
Brian Cox. Unbelievable fellow. Mm-hmm. You would be good in his position. Perfect.
Yeah. I think the music and science are not as separate as you might think.
Okay. In what way?
Well, they say if you have a knack for music, you're generally good at math, you know, maybe.
Uh-huh.
They say that.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I know two fellows that were avid headbangers, right? And they both had doctorates in math.
Mm.
And they said there was a relationship.
Mm.
I didn't get it, but they do. Okay, you mentioned Knopfler with Dire Straits. And that's one of the songs you picked, so let's just play The Sultans of Swing.
Yeah.
stubborn, you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces.
That is the kind of song, Jason, that you would love to have your father's system to listen to. You know? Just
well, I've got a nice system now at home. I've got a nice vinyl. I've got that on vinyl, actually. And, yeah, it's good to listen to it through proper speakers. The art, people have lost the art of listening, you know, with all computers and everything. People listen to music in a terrible way, really, these days, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah, I know. Do you have a favorite song to perform that you wrote?
Well, any kind of new one that I would need to sort of test the water with. But I do always, I've done that song Off the Rails thousands of times, and it always makes me feel good, because I remember the person who wrote it, you know, and it's nice to think about that.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. You remember the person who wrote it.
Yeah.
That was you.
That was me. Yeah. But I was a different kind of person in those days.
Yeah. I think we were probably all different 20 or 30 years ago. Right. Your second album, Blow Up the Bridge, from your second album, the song Blow Up the Bridge. Mm-hmm. Is the whole album based on Hemingway's For Whom the Bell Tolls?
No, just that song.
Just that song. Yeah. When you start writing, do you envision a theme for an album? Or do you try to mix it up a little?
Well, a theme usually starts to emerge anyway, you know, as you go along.
Okay.
And... yeah, it's not really something you necessarily contrive to begin with, because, you know, you're getting into sort of concept albums there. But certainly I was in a big Hemingway moment at that time, and I was avidly reading all his short stories and novels. And there's another song on that album that's loosely based on another incident, just a little scene in one of his books, and a different book, A Farewell to Arms. And Nobody's Son is the title of that album.
Okay.
And maybe if I think about it, they sort of called themselves the Lost Generation, those expat Americans that used to live in Europe in the 20s.
Right.
You know.
We might have another one. One of those generations.
Yeah. Well, I think it was less to do with you wanting to get away from America, and just more kind of, it was cheap to live in Paris in those days for if you were an artist. And if you want to go write a novel, you need to go to Paris, really, I would say.
Well, let's take a listen to Blow Up the Bridge from your second album by Jason McNiff.
Darkness creeping over sunburnt land, one evening in July. Lying on the cooling sands, sentryman below I spy. Got my gun, my dynamite, hiding place upon the ridge. I've been sent from high command to blow up the bridge. Watching what up the road, the old man by my side, he's called Angelo, and on him I must rely. He knows these hills like a child, and I'm hoping he won't break. When the bridge is blown and the wind must go, our escape. But I'm dreaming of easy come, where I'm gonna go when this is done. friendly lines, I'll hear the news. Drink the wine and crossing from the old hotel. In the lean of the church bell. Hat cock right and the shoe shone bright underneath the moonlit night. Ooh, yeah. Now the moon is shining on the bridge. Sentries in his place. Playing cards with his pal, I can clearly see his face. But I'll kill him, I kill before. Something I don't think about. To win a war you gotta kill. That there's little doubt. Underway, nothing can stop it now. We could take San Jose, we could take Loud Ground. The night is long, much time to think. Carrying a heavy load, it all depends on the bridges blown. I'm dreaming of the easy come, where I'm gonna go when this is done. Way behind friendly lines, I'll hear the news. Drink the wine, I'm crossing from the old hotel. In the lee of the church bell. Hat cock right and my shoes shone bright underneath the moonlit night.
Turn with Jason McNiff in just a moment, but first I need to tell you that you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of the show. I'm your host, Pete Pastore, and I wanted to tell you about the UC Davis Good Life Garden. The UC Davis Good Life Garden contains an ever-changing, now get this, edible landscape and organic seasonal with substantially growing vegetables, herbs, and flowers. The garden also provides information on how to cook, grow, buy all of this in the different seasons with great taste and high nutrition in mind. For more info, visit goodlifegarden.ucdavis.edu. And that's one of the few things we can do these days is get out in the garden. We're listening with, or we're talking with Jason McNiff, British troubadour, singer-songwriter out of southern England. And we're going to get right back to his interview now. ¶¶ Okay, we're back. Jason, if people want to know a little bit about you, where can they go?
Oh, well, they can come on Facebook. They can look at my website, jasonmcniff.com. They can follow me on Instagram. I don't use that too much. You mainly use Facebook.
Okay. And of course, you've got a website, right? jasonmcniff.com.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you work on that yourself, or do you have someone do that for you? Are you kind of like a technical guy, or?
Not really, no. No, I have someone. Okay. I have someone who does that for me.
Someone who does that for you. Okay.
Yeah, my girlfriend.
In the music business, does she do that for a living? You can give her a little plug right now.
No, but she's good. She's good at all that sort of stuff.
Okay. What's the best advice, music-wise, that you've ever been given?
Not try too hard. You know, on stage.
Okay. Yeah.
Just relax.
Come across more as yourself instead of someone else, maybe.
Don't worry about it. Don't try to impress people.
Okay.
Remember that you're there to give something to them, not take something from them.
Perfect line. There's your next song. Hey, we mentioned Bob Dylan, and you mentioned his song as one that you feel is artistically very, very good and one of your favorites, if not the favorite song.
Yeah.
We're going to play just a snippet of it, Idiot Wind, which is from, I'm trying to remember what album that's from, something Railroad.
No, Blood on the Track.
Well, okay, Railroad Track.
Ah, right.
Work with me here. Yeah.
Blood on the Railroad.
Idiot Wind, Bob Dylan, just a snippet of it. They cut it out quick, but when they will, I can only guess. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. People see me all the time, and they just filled with big ideas, images, and distorted facts. Even you, yesterday, you had to ask me where it was at. I couldn't believe after all these years, you didn't know me any better than that, sweet lady. Okay, we're back. Ah, that voice. You write, you record, you perform.
Yeah.
Do any of those stand out as your favorite?
No, they're all part of the same greater thing. And they're all an equal part of the whole thing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's great to write. You know, it's very satisfying if it comes halfway good. You know, you can get anything that's
right.
You feel is has got something to say for it, then that's wonderful. And then performing is another. They one leads to the other, and they feed off each other, and they you can't really separate them too much. I see it all as the same.
So these COVID days are difficult then, because we've taken away one third of that process.
Yeah, I've been playing online though, which has been great. Really good.
I'm glad you brought that up, because the last one I saw was with two other musicians, and it came across very, very well.
Yeah, we went to our usual place where I did do a regular event in normal times.
Uh-huh.
Lovely. I actually live by the sea now. I don't live in London anymore. We moved away about a year ago, and we live down on the south coast in Hastings. Okay. You heard of Hastings?
Never heard of Hastings.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's the scene of a very famous battle in 1066.
Thank you.
Anyway, so there's...
All I remember, I do know, how close is that to the White Cliffs of Dover?
Oh, pretty close, you know, 50 miles away. Yeah, close.
Okay, so yeah. I was 7 years old. I was born in Holland. My parents immigrated when I was 7 years old to here. And I can remember it was a boat. So now you know how old I am, a ship, I should say. And I can remember seeing the White Cliffs of Dover.
Wow.
And beautiful. I remember thinking, I wonder if there's a musician that lives close by. No. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, now just to finish that, that last show that you saw was in our local venue, which of course you can't do live shows properly, but we did a live stream from that place. And that was our last thing that's up on my Facebook at the moment.
Okay. And is that a regular thing, or is like every Thursday, or just whenever?
I'm doing my online gig every Friday.
Every Friday. Okay.
At 8:30 okay. GMT.
Right. Okay. You know, in today's environment in music, obviously, the only way the major way musicians can make an income is gigging. So this has to be like just devastating for you and other musicians. Just devastating.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's not too bad, because I can do these online shows.
Yeah.
And people are generous and donate, and I don't know how long it's going to continue like that, but it's not been too bad. But the ones I really feel sorry for are the drummers, you know, the bass players, the fiddle players, the ones who need other people in order to play.
Right.
You know, because they can't just go online and just play the drums.
No. You know,
that's really bad. It's really bad for them. So
in London or your area, are venues starting to not only close up, but shutter up, just they're done? That's a big concern here.
We were in a complete lockdown throughout March, April, May, and then in June, and recently things have started opening again. So the pubs and the cafes are now open.
Okay.
You know? But, you know, you're wearing a mask, it's all different, this distancing and all the rest of it.
Okay, we're going to play the last song, and it's from yours. That's Been a Bad Day, from your new album, Join Independence. When was that released?
That was released in 18.
Okay. It's a heartbreaker. Huh? It's a heartbreaker.
The whole album or that song?
That song is a heartbreaker. That line, only two ways to go.
Yeah.
Up or below. Beautiful. Yeah, no.
I like it, Peter. How do you pronounce it?
All right. Peter.
Peter, just Peter.
Peter, yeah. In Holland, Peter, the biblical Peter is P-I-E-T-R. And other name, Peter, is P-E-T-E-R, which is not biblical. So that's how it was explained to me. So I'm very biblical.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's listen to Been a Bad Day.
I'm gonna stop drinking, just not tonight. I've been thinking about treating you right. Porch is open as a breeze blowing, and the truth is out tonight. I've not been feeling right. Well, sometimes you're a hate killer, sometimes you're a tramp. You play me like a blues player with your low-down lamp. You've been coming round here, leaving matches, leaving sticks. The message never comes. I could ride out to East Molesley, I could wait up for the sun. That's just self-pity talking, bending my ear. Now you're not near. There's only two ways to go, one is up and one's below. Can I make my mind up before the end of the show? Is it strength or weakness? Who can say? But it's been a bad day.
We're back here. It's been a bad day. Jason McNiff. You can find him online at jasonmcniff.com from his new album, Join Independence. And Jason's coming out with a new album soon. You're going to finish up recording tomorrow, I hear.
Yeah.
And is this scheduled for a release sometime soon?
Well, no, I don't know about that because, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen and what's the best way to do things like this. So it's done, and it's been great to do it. And now we're going to see what to do.
Okay.
I might send it to a few little record companies, see if anybody's interested.
Okay. Speaking of that, do you send it to record companies? How does that work? You know people in the record company and say, hey, take a listen and go from there? Or do you have an agent that helps you maneuver all of that?
No, I don't have an agent. I know some people who run indie labels, and I would
Okay. Send
it to them because I know them. And then you can, you know, sometimes it's even better actually to just try and get in there cold with you listen to some artists you think you're kind of similar to, and go to their label and track down the person and just sort of go for it, you know.
Very good.
It might end up coming out on I did do something on my own label, a retrospective a few years ago.
Okay.
A kind of collection of stuff.
Right.
So yeah, one way or the other, it'll see the light of day soon.
Okay, we'll be looking for it. Well, Jason, we're sort of at the end of the track here. Thank you for sharing your life with us. We're going to go out with a song that you recommended we listen to, Sarah Gillespie, "Don't Be Sorry."
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
And do you know her personally?
I do, yeah, I do.
Okay, all righty. Well, we'll finish up with that. Jason, thank you so much. In the description below for all of the listeners and the description online, you'll have all the references we talked about. You'll have his websites. Your music is available on Spotify, iTunes, I believe, probably some other things that I don't even know about. Those are the two main ones. What's next for you? And I know it's a tough question because you don't know because of COVID, but in terms of a big picture, what's next for you?
Well, it's just to carry on, and I'm going to keep doing these online shows, keep writing, keep trying to get better, keep engaging with the people who like my music, and just hope it goes onwards and upwards.
Very good. Well, thank you, and we hope we'll be talking soon. Take care.
Great, Peter. Great to speak with you. Take care.
Thank you, Jason. That was a great interview. Jason McNiff, a troubadour, singer-songwriter from England, spent an hour with us talking about his music and in COVID, his struggles. And that reminds me to, if you've got a favorite artist, especially local artist, people that you follow, see what they're doing online and contribute. For lack of a better word, it keeps them in business. And it's good for us to listen to them. So I asked Jason if he's got a particular artist that he is just thrilled to listen to these days. And he mentioned a lady by the name of Sarah Gillespie. And so I asked him to pick a song of Sarah's, and he picked Don't Be Sorry. So we're going to go out with that, Don't Be Sorry by Sarah Gillespie. But before we listen to her song, you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of Cheryl of the show. I'm your host, Pete Pastore, and we'll see you all week. Take it away, Sarah.
Because you wanted me to witness your revenge.